In the longest chapter in the New Testament, on the theme of the resurrection from the dead, and this is 1 Corinthians 15, after he has given this most profound theological understanding of what Jesus' resurrection means for us and our resurrection, St. Paul concludes the whole chapter with some of the most stirring words in the New Testament. He writes, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord. For in the Lord, your labor is not in vain." Isn't that great? To abound in the work of the Lord. If any of you have the Missalette, you might turn to page 49. There's this great quote from St. Thérèse of Lisieux that is a beautiful, I think, explanation of what it means to abound in the work of the Lord. There she writes, "The value of our life does not depend on the place we occupy. It depends on the way we occupy the place." Woohoo! That is awesome. And that is exactly what we see with St. Paul. St. Paul is in Rome, and it struck me when I was reading this text and texts we've heard over the last few days. A couple of years ago, we heard that Paul was in Caesarea, where he spent 2 years in jail. Now, he's out of jail, and he's come to Rome to appeal to the emperor. But who's the emperor? It's Nero. Great. I've come to Rome to appeal to Nero, who a few years beyond the text that we have here, he will outlaw Christianity. And here's the amazing thing. Here's Paul in Rome, and he's got this guard by him all the time. He can't shake this Roman. But that doesn't impede Paul. Not at all. He could be in jail. He can be in Rome with this guy next to him the whole time. But he is absolutely convinced that even though he is at the heart of the Roman Empire, as St. Luke tells us, what does St. Paul do? He proclaims the kingdom of God and the teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul lived what he preached. To abound in the work of the Lord meant for St. Paul, it doesn't matter where I am. I might be in jail in Jerusalem. I might be under house arrest in Rome under Nero's reign. But there's another kingdom that I'm proclaiming, the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his lordship. And this, my beloved brothers and sisters, is the heart of our faith. Remember also St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we're the dumbest people in the world for being here today. But in fact, he has been raised from the dead, so that changes everything. My beloved brothers and sisters, you and I have to have such a deep confidence in the resurrection of Jesus because it changes the way you live your life. And it also changes the way you see the reality of this world. This world will always disappoint you. This world can never satisfy you. And in this world, we will also face real challenges. We'll be frustrated with our politicians. We'll be disappointed with our bishops, our pope, our priests. We'll be disappointed with everything in this world, because we're not ultimately made for this world. We're made for Jesus and his kingdom. And here's the thing about the church. Those congregations, those priests, those bishops who have a fire lit under them, who know that this is true, this is the only way we can make a difference in the world. By having a deep and confident conviction that what St. Thérèse said is absolutely true. It doesn't depend on the place we occupy, but on how we occupy the place where we live. At the very end of that reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we have these words. That he, St. Paul, preached with all boldness and without hindrance. Now let me give you a bit of context here. The years are between 60 and 62 AD when St. Paul is in Rome. He's then going to be freed for a time where he'll probably go to the West. He'll go to Crete and he'll preach the gospel there. And perhaps he also went to Spain. But what we also know is he's going to be rearrested. And around the year 67 AD, he will have his head chopped off under Emperor Nero. In one of his last letters, his letter to Timothy, he says the following: I am in this chain, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is unhindered. It is not chained. And indeed, that is the truth. For here we are, over 2,000 years later, and we are proclaiming the same faith. We are under the same Lord, and we believe that the same kingdom is unhindered. In the gospel, worth reading again, these are the words with which the gospel of St. John ends. And John had such a love for Jesus. He had such a love for the people of God. And I love Peter, right? That Jesus has just said to Peter, and we heard this in yesterday's gospel, when you're older, someone else is going to take you to where you do not want to go. And Jesus says, but what about him? What about that John guy? And Jesus says, Peter, mind your own business. That's John's life. Your life is your life, and you're called to follow me. And here's the other thing about learning to live in relation to what St. Therese says. It depends on the way we occupy the space. You only have your life. I only have my life. And it does none of us any good if we're saying, well, what about that person? They seem to have it so much easier. If our hearts turn that way, we can't do what Jesus says to St. Peter, follow me. And of course, Peter learned to do that. He learned to follow the Lord all the way to being crucified upside down. You see, we're living in an age that is no longer Christendom. For centuries, the West had a Christian culture. It doesn't anymore. It's gone for good. And I'm glad it's dead. Because the Lord, by his Spirit, is now able to do something in his church that allows us to be more like first century Christians. That we believe in a kingdom that is very different from the kingdoms of this world. We believe in a story that is different from the relativism, the reinvention of what it is to be human, that is so much of the narrative of this world. For we believe in a story, as St. John says, all the books in the world could not contain all that we could say about Jesus. That's our story. And it's a story not only for this life, but for eternity. Let me end by referring to our beautiful collect that we had at the beginning of Mass. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that we, who have celebrated the Paschal festivities, in other words, we've celebrated these last 49 days of Easter, may by your gift hold fast to them in the way we live our lives. Don't you want that? Don't you want Easter to be defining how you live? Don't you want the heart of St. Therese? Don't you want the heart of St. Paul? Don't you want the heart of a disciple? I do. And it's my prayer for St. Peter's as we continue to move forward, that we will be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For in the Lord, our labor is never in vain. Praise be to Jesus Christ, our risen, ascended Lord, who sends his Spirit upon his church so that we can witness to him in love.